Blog Talk Radio.
Hey you, with a rhinestone dog collar. Between us dogs, I just convinced my human to upgrade to a new home with a 1,200 square foot bathroom. I think she called it a yard. With Wells Fargo's 3% down mortgage option, my human realized a new home was within reach. And I only gave her puppy eyes once. Get your human to talk to a mortgage consultant or learn more at wellsfargo.com/woof.
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Down payments as low as 3% on a fixed rate loan require mortgage insurance. Ask a home mortgage consultant about loan requirements. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender. NMLSR ID 399801.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm just forever grateful to have you again listening to this broadcast. Is a blessing not only to me, but it's a blessing to God because He wants us to be in the midst of Him through His Word at church, listening to the sermon from the pastor at your own private study time, devotioning with Him. He wants our ears to be attentive to His call. He said in His Word, He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So I'm thankful and grateful that you have sat with me and partnered with me to walk through the pages of the Word of God, that they would breathe upon you afresh, anew, something that will move you in your spirit to stand up and be a witness. As a redeemed, called man of God, woman of God, that someone would see the beauty in you, and that is Jesus Christ Himself through the Holy Spirit, that they would see the beauty in you asking, what must I do to be saved? So praise the Lord, and God bless you. And thank you again for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. Before we start, I always want to open up our broadcast with a prayer of worship to God. So if you could, brothers and sisters, partner with me. And as we go to the throne of grace, that we touch and agree with bowed heads and humbled hearts as we prepare ourselves to worship Him in prayer, and as we prepare ourselves to receive a rich nugget from God through the pages of His Word. So let's partner in prayer. Lord God, thank you, Heavenly Father, for being who you are. You are the mighty God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are Yahweh God, the great I am, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. As we come to the throne of grace with bowed heads, Lord, you told us to make our petitions known unto thee. And Lord, we come before you this day asking that we may receive, seeking you and only you, knocking in prayer, that our prayers would be made known and blessings received, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Oh, how excited we are, Lord God, because of you loving us, and you gave your only begotten Son. And you said that whosoever believes in you shall not perish. And we just thank you for that promise, for the promises that you made all the way in the beginning of time. They still stand true today, over 2,000 years. And we are just so thankful for being a sovereign God, for being an omnipotent God, for being a God that is omniscient, who is everywhere at all times. We are just so blessed to be in your presence, Lord God, through prayer. And we just ask that you would heal those who are in sickness and pain today, who may not have been able to get up and just take a step, Lord God. Heal the infirmities of their body. Heal their minds, Lord God. Someone woke up maybe not in their right mind, who may be struggling with Alzheimer's or dementia. Lord, according to your will, your perfect will, heal them is our prayer. And Lord, for those who may be in a financial bind, Lord God, you are the provider. You bring and make provision. You took fish and bread, and you fed a many a thousand. Lord, you promised to be the provider, to be the anchor of our ship. You promised that you are the shepherd of our life. You promised, Lord, and we thank you for your promises. Thank you for your provision in advance. Lord God, we just surrender our life to you. What we keep taking back from you, Lord, we just turn it all over to you. We will let go and let you order our steps through your word. What makes sense to us may not make sense to you, but we trust you and we believe in you. And Lord, we just seek your word for guidance, provision, for healing and restoration. We seek your word for direction and great faith. Build us up where we are weak. Strengthen us that we may go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for allowing us to come to the throne of grace in our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for partnering with me in prayer and lifting up a prayer of worship, calling him who he is, and thanking him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he is going to do. And that brings us to our conclusion of this teaching series, Tunnel Vision versus Panoramic Vision. And we've been looking through these two particular types of vision through the pages of God, focusing on 3 points. And the 3 points are focus, being point one, point two, faith, and point three, promise. Now, if you have not listened or had an opportunity to visit the other 2 points that we've been walking through, I encourage you to go back and click on or key in your browser www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH. And that's heart, the number 2, heart, MFTH. And that stands for Mission from the Heart. And as you put that in your browser, it'll bring you right up to the website. And all you have to do is click on part 1, part 2, and part 3. And that would bring you up to where we are on this particular conclusion of the series, which is focusing on promise. So I want you to listen to this as you prepare your hearts and have your Bibles ready, because we're going to be reading through some passages today that reveal to us God's promise. And that's our focus today. And for you note takers, our launching pad is going to be 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you would put a pen or a marker or your bookmark there, That's going to be our launching pad for this particular point, promise. But listen to this. Whose report will you believe? That's the question. The answer should be, I will believe the report of the Lord. Or put this way, I will believe the promises of the Lord. Setting our heart and hope on the promises of God, we gain the rewards that come with being a believer in Christ Jesus. When we look with tunnel vision, our focus, faith, and promise work hand in hand for fullness of life. Listen to what John 10:10 says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it in the full. Vision through the panoramic causes you to become caught up in broken promises that appear to be real when they are counterfeit. Proverbs 16:25 says this, and I love the way it puts it. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And some translations may put it this way. It appears, there is a way that appears to be right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death or destruction. So I just wanted you to think of it this way. Tunnel vision brings about the rewards because of our focus, our faith, and the promises of God. But when we are viewing life through the panoramic vision, then it causes us to get caught up or distracted, or we fail because of the broken promises of the world. So I want Scripture to help us better understand God's promises, that's tunnel vision, versus man's promise, and that's panoramic vision. Listen to, and if you would, walk with me, particular passage. And as I indicated, our launching pad is going to be 2 Peter 3. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read this particular passage in its entirety, so follow along with me in your translation, and I'm going to read it first. I'm going to read it first in the NIV, the New International Version. And I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through verse 18. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. Now, of course, we're talking about Peter, or this is Peter speaking to believers in Christ Jesus. And this is his, he wrote his second epistle, and this is what he's saying. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, the day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and a peace him, bearing in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking to them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This passage or focus is that we are to live in anticipation, to live in anticipation of the day of the Lord. And as I read this passage, and it started in the beginning so beautifully about how Peter was very personal with us as brothers and sisters in Christ concerning the promise of God, the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. And it talked about in this particular verse, three. And it says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, these are times that we are experiencing now, that we are in these last days of what I like to look at as contractions or having a child, for those of us who've experienced that, the birthing pains on this world in comparison to a woman having a baby, the contractions that go on, and it brings about pain and suffering until the child comes through the birth canal. But we are in this time and season of the birthing pains, of the contractions that bring about pain and agony. And it says in verse 3, we must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. We see that in today's times. How do we see that today? We see that in the way of leaders making promises that they cannot keep. They're called broken promises. And they make promises to the nations or to the people as if they can be kept, because they do not know God. And so they make promises that come with failure. And as I indicated in the intro, when we look through the panoramic vision, it causes you to become caught up in those broken promises that leaders make to the world or to their nation. And when we put all of our trust and faith in their promises, as it indicated in Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And although these leaders may think their promises will be right, it will eventually lead to death. The only promises that are right are the promises of God, and that is looking through or with tunnel vision. Panoramic vision is a vision that you see more, and more is not always good. But when we look through tunnel vision, you see less, yes, but you're less to be distracted. You stay focused on what the promise is and who provides the promises. And so in this particular verse in 2 Peter 3, verse 3, Peter says, above all, we as believers in Christ Jesus, we must understand that in these last days, scoffers will come. And we've seen that, we see that today. It's very prevalent. in today's times with false prophets, people coming through telling us that this is going to be a certain day when the last days or Jesus is coming back. We've had people that have tried to predict when Jesus is coming back. And right now, we've got leaders that are making claim and stating comments that can make America peaceful and joyful if you just trust him. Well, this is not true. And scripture talks about that. It talks about that concerning the day of the Lord, as we've read in verse 3, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And as we've seen in past years, leader after leader after leader, promise after promise after promise, where does it lead us? It leads us with pain. It leads us with anxiety. It leads us with depression. It leads us in sickness and eventually death, because we put all of our faith in their broken promises. And it goes on to say in this particular passage, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Well, who's the author of lies? Who's the father of lies? Satan. Satan is the deceiver. He is a master in his craft, but he is not real as far as truth. He is a liar and a deceiver, and he's an accuser of the brothers, the sisters. And so if he can get weak, undernourished believers in Christ Jesus to waver in their faith, to flip-flop back and forth, to fall prey to his shenanigans that appear to be real, and if he can cause the weaker ones to fall by the wayside and to fall back into temptation, to live as if there's no hope, to focus on the ways of the world or the promises of man, just as I introed concerning John 10:10, it tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He goes lurking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can kill, steal, and destroy. That's his plan, is to kill and steal and destroy the believers. Shut us down. Shut us up, that we will not proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He does not like when we go out into the vineyard and work, that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that others will come into the ark of salvation. And he comes to do this. He accuses us, and he wants to kill us. He wants to rob us of our joy, of our peace that we have in Christ. He wants us to live a lifestyle of uncertainty. He wants us to be stressed out. He wants us to be broke, busted, and totally disgusted, as if there is no hope. He will set us up with broken promises, and then he will leave us there to fend for ourselves. Now, this is the promise of man. And we see the work of his promises, Satan, through men who know not God. And they come with excuses as well as to why promises have not been kept. And then we look at the promises of God, the beauty of God through the tunnel vision. According to Scripture, the scoffers continue to say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything is going on just the way it is. We still have killings going on. We still have people being abducted, fathers against sons. We've got mothers against daughters. We have corruption going on. Where is this second coming he promised? Nothing has changed in this world, and that is to the it, that will cause us to be doubtful about what God has promised. And doubting God is a sin. And verse 5 says, "But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water." So see how we forget where God has brought us from, or has the power to create and form the earth out of water, by water. We forget the power that God has, and we've forgotten what he's done in the past. And so we go on in the world making claims and stating claims that he's not going to change anything. It's just going to stay this way. But if you put your faith and promise and your faith and trust in me, man, then I can make changes in this world, in the nations. So that's a ploy to redirect our attention from God on man. That is Satan's work. And when we get caught up in the broken promises that are not real, that are not true, then it leads to death. And this type of death is eternal damnation, separation from God. And our passage paints the picture of the power of God in verse 5, how those who scoff or mock the return of Jesus Christ, how they have forgotten what God has done in the past. And according to verse 6, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed, speaking of the time of Noah. And in verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. That is this time and age. It's reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, let's think about that. It's being reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, who are the ungodly? The ungodly are those who choose and continue to follow the ways of the world, the ways of Satan. They are those who who are ungodly, who refuse and reject Jesus Christ, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now, again, looking through the panoramic vision, you see more. Yes, you do. But more is not always good for you. When God says to focus and keep your mind stayed on Him, and He will keep you in perfect peace. He says that our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Focus on Christ Jesus. Faith in God, saved by His amazing grace, that the promises of God will be rewarded unto us. His promises. Now, looking in, continuing in our passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 8 now. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, Peter is indicated. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. One day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day with the Lord. So how many times have so many people have gotten impatient with God because of a situation that may be going on in your life that you feel He should be taking care of it. And we live in a world, in a society that is microwave. We want it now. We want something fixed yesterday. When Scripture tells us that we are not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worry in itself. Today. But we get impatient. We get discombobulated with what is right. And so we start operating in that mindset of impatience. And in verse 8, it says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. That's a long time. But when you are in the right vision, tunnel vision, then the promises of God don't seem that long, because every day is a blessing when you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we see it as that. Scripture teaches that. And the love of God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. That's a promise. John 3:16. That's a promise that you can bank on. He gave His Son. And He gave His Son to die on the cross for the sin of the world. And that anybody who receives Jesus as their Savior and they believe by faith, we are saved by God's amazing grace. With repentance of heart, with forgiveness, He gives. God gives. We stand up brand new, and we, according to Scripture, into all the world and preach, teach the gospel, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called to go. But when we put our focus through the panoramic vision, then impatience takes place. Doubt sets in. Stress takes control. Panic attacks tear you down. Depression eats you alive. And by the time has passed, death has set in. This is what the world offers through broken promises. But God says, do not forget this one thing. According to Peter, he says, don't forget, for with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. According to verse 9, God is not slow. His time is a lot better than our time. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He sees the beginning and the end of everything. Time does not keep him contained. He's above time. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you in spite of your impatience. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. That's love. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. That's the kind of love that went to the cross, who walked Calvary's road, hung, bled, and died on that old rugged cross, pierced in his side. That is the love that was patient for you, not wanting anyone to perish. No one, according to John 3:16. But everyone to come to repentance. That's salvation. Come to repentance through salvation. Who is salvation? Jesus Christ is salvation. He wants us to lay our life, surrender our life to Jesus Christ. This is what he means by living in fullness of his promise. He doesn't want us to perish. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Suddenly he will come. Will you be ready? Suddenly he will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, not by water like it did in the days of Noah, but this time by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. This is a promise according to God's scripture. These are the promises of God that will take place. This we can bank on. But for those who are believers in Christ Jesus, according to this particular passage and according to the salvation of Jesus Christ, we will not experience this. The earth will experience fire. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way. Don't make any mistake about it. Don't allow the panoramic vision to cause you to believe the broken promises that have been said, past, present, and future. That Jesus is not coming back. That the world will be peaceful as long as I am leader of this world. These are the lies of Satan, the destroyer, the accuser, one who wants to be called God. These are the promises of God. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, according to verse 11 in 2 Peter 3, what kind of people ought you to be? That's the question. Who are we to be? We ought to live holy and godly lives. This is how we are to remain in his promise, in the word of God, steadfast, sure-footed, with the full armor of God on, not wavering in our faith, not moving from the left to the right, but staying focused on Jesus Christ and the promises of God through his word. We ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We look forward and we anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. This is our anticipation that Jesus come quickly according to Revelation. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in heat. It does not matter what the element is, metal, iron, plastic, paper, it will all be disintegrated. That's a promise. Verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So we are to stay sure-footed and focused through tunnel vision, according to verse 13. This is the focal point of this particular passage, is verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, and I pray and hope that you never, never, ever stop looking for Jesus' return, this is what we as believers in Christ Jesus are to do, anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. Now, as we are waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are to be at work where there is plenty in the vineyard. For the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This is where we as brothers and sisters in Christ should be encouraging and praying for others within our circle of influence, our families, our in-laws, our spouse, to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice in him and be glad in the return of Jesus Christ as we anticipate and wait patiently for his return. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Verse 14. This is what we are to be doing. We ought to live holy and godly lives, but we are looking forward to this by making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. We are to not be backbiting against our brothers and sisters. We are not to be causing discord amongst the body of Christ. We are to be at peace with one another in the body of Christ, that we would have the peace of the Lord, of God, upon us. And this is how we are to live holy and godly lives in a dark world. This takes practice, but it's worth doing. Bear in mind, verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. He's being patient enough for us as the workers, as the laborers, to go out in the harvest, that we would encourage others to come into the ark of salvation. He said that he does not want anyone to perish. This is God's will. And he wants both you and me to go out and encourage and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, mission the gospel, living the gospel of Jesus Christ in holy and godly lives, that others would want what you and I have, and that is salvation. It's there for them as well. But we are his eyes, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are God's mouthpiece to administer the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So we don't sit soaking sour and believe in broken promises of the world or leaders in different nations. No, our promises are in God and God alone. So, making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking to them of these matters. And the matters are what Peter is speaking about is not wavering in their faith, not listening to false prophets or broken promises, that believers should not be seduced by the teachers of false doctrine, especially their disbelief in the second coming. This is what Peter is petitioning to us in this particular epistle, and the people during that time, Paul did the same thing in his letters concerning this matter, being seduced by leaders who are speaking false promises, broken promises, that believers might grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior. And as we've read, be found blameless, spotless, in the day of the Lord's return. This is what Peter was writing to the saints, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in what is going on in the world today. No matter who he or she is that's leading the nation. Our focus is on Jesus Christ, the true promises. And this is what Scripture tells us. This is what Peter is writing. He's refreshing our remembrance concerning Paul's letters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures in their own destruction, talking about the deceivers, the false prophets, the false doctrine, because they know not God, meaning they don't know him intimately and in a relational way. They just have knowledge of God, but not relation with God. So they distort the scriptures. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. That's why we have to be rooted in the Word of God with deep roots, like a tree planted by a river, that we will continually be fed living water, drinking living water, and eating the bread of life. The bread of life is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life and living water. By every word in the Bible, it breathes upon us that we would be made fresh, new, empowered, fulfilled, and rekindled by the Holy Spirit, that we would be on fire and we would go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling somebody of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, that they would come into relationship with Jesus Christ because of your testimony, because of the love that you have for Jesus Christ, because of the love that you have for the written word of God. Only through salvation that we can receive the rewards, the promises of God. And through prayer and supplication, we can live out those promises and receive those promises now while we yet sojourn through this barren land. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, the promises of God, we can take them to the bank. Let's look at Scripture in Revelation and just keep your mark on 2 Peter 3. But I want us to move over to the book of Revelation. And let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, Revelation is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I enjoy reading Revelation. It talks about the promises of God. Revelation 21, verse 1. So if you would walk with me through Revelation 21, and I'll start in verse 1. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, as you follow along in yours. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we just read that in 2 Peter 3. And this is John who wrote the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evil are gone forever." Amen. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." That's a promise that will never be broken. We can take that to the bank, brothers and sisters. And he also said in verse 6, "It is finished. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of the water of life without charge. And all who are victorious will inherit all things or all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards who turn away from me, and unbelievers, and the corrupt, and murderers, and the immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, and the idol worshipers, and all liars, their doom is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And we'll stop right there. Now that was Revelation 21, verses 1 through 9. And you can continue to read the chapter in its entirety and move right on into Revelation 22. It is all beautiful for you to read and study. But I just wanted to bring those two, that passage in Revelation along with 2 Peter 3 in correlation with one another to show you what Peter has written and has encouraged the believers to stay steadfast on the promises of God. Do not waver to the left or right. Out of our obedience comes rewards. And the rewards were made mention in Revelation. And these are the promises of God that will not be broken. They will not be broken. So the verse that is the golden verse concerning the promises of God is 2 Peter 3:13. And it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelt righteousness. And we just read that in Revelation 21. So in closing this particular point for this particular series, Christians are forward lookers. We look forward. We look toward Jesus Christ through the tunnel vision rather than dwelling on past victories and failures. We are to deal with the challenges of today while always anticipating the return and reign of Christ. It is the hope of a new world where righteousness rules that motivates us as believers in Christ Jesus to live holy and godly lives today. God's promises are certain. Jesus will return. That is a promise. He will establish a new heaven and a new earth. Righteousness will prevail, and Christ's righteous people will reign for him. Don't ever forget that, brothers and sisters. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, oh yeah, they will fade away according to what we read in Scripture. But the Word of God, it will remain forever and ever. God bless you.